no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday for another 60 minutes of radio drama. We'll begin this week with The Whistler, a story from January 27th, 1947, titled Night Melody. After that, it's The Sixth Shooter, and A Pressing Engagement. This episode from December 6th, 1953.
The Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. That whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadow. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Yes, friends, it's time for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. Rated by independent research, the most popular West Coast program. In gasoline, you know, it takes extra quality to go farther. And Signal is the famous Go Farther gasoline. So look for the Signal circle sign in yellow and black that identifies Signal service stations from Canada to Mexico. And now the Whistler's strange story. Night Melody.
Marshall was nervous. His hand shook as he dialed Helen's number on the phone in the drugstore a block away from the apartment. He realized he shouldn't be calling her now, of all times. She knew he was coming back tonight, knew every step of the plan. They'd gone over it carefully a week ago, before he'd left for Phoenix. But even though it was dangerous, he had to call her. Had to still that terrible, unsure feeling in the pit of his stomach. And Helen reacted just as he expected.
But I told you not to call me, Marshall.
I had to, Helen. I had to make sure. What about the alley door?
Open. I fixed it a few minutes ago.
You know what you're going to say when they call you in?
Of course.
You sure Mr. Prentice will be coming home at the same time?
Of course, Marshall. He's as regular as clockwork. Oh, now, don't be silly, darling. You can trust me. Everything is just waiting for you to walk in.
All right, Helen. I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Yes, it's all waiting for you, Marshal. The side door open and ready for you. The vial of poison in your pocket. Your wife, Melody, alone in the apartment. Her sister, Helen, upstairs, ready with her story of the strange man. But the tense, uncertain feeling is still there. Worse now as you sit in the room with Melody, talking to her, knowing what's going to happen in a matter of minutes.
My dear wandering husband. Same as ever, always doing the unexpected.
Surprised?
Oh, not exactly. Only one thing could have brought you home from Phoenix this way. You've come to say goodbye, haven't you?
You're very direct, Melody.
I'm sorry it didn't work out, Marshall. Who is she?
I think that's beside the point.
Yes, I guess it is. I suppose it's my own fault, in a way. I have treated you a little like a toy. An expensive one, of course.
Let's forget that, shall we? After all, we're adults.
And there's no reason why we shouldn't part good friends. You're so right, Marshall. Always so right.
Good. Let's have a drink on it, huh?
All right.
Scotch and soda?
Of course. Whoever your new playmate is, Marshall, I hope she has money. Because you certainly won't get any of mine. I was just talking to my sister this evening.
Helen? What's she got to do with
it? I told her again that if anything happens to me, everything I have goes to her. That's all.
That's as it should be. Huh. What's that, a music box?
I'm going ahead with my makeup, if you don't mind. My new perfume bottle, dear. I just got it yesterday.
Hmm. Clever, isn't it? Same old perfume, though, huh?
Night Melody. Supposed to fit my personality, you know. Never liked it. Did you, dear?
No. I was rather surprised to find you dressed. You going somewhere?
Does it matter?
Well, I suppose it's none of my business now. Well, here's your drink.
Let me put back the stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you made me spill it, Marshal. Why can't you?
I didn't mean to do it. I'm sorry, Melody.
Show it all over my new
suit. There you are. Phew. That's strong, isn't it?
You don't like it, do you? You'll never like anything.
Please, Melody. We're good friends, remember? Here's your drink.
Oh, all right.
To the future, eh?
To the future. Oh, I've never tasted anything quite so strong. It's almost... What is it, Marshal? Marshal, what have you done to me?
Marshal! Well, it worked, Marshal, and quickly. Yes, cyanin always does. And the full vial in Melody's drink made it almost instantaneous. You bend over, a check, then straighten up and look at your watch. 1:15, still unscheduled. It takes only a moment to rinse out the two glasses, then hurry to the door, open it, and look into the hall. No one in sight, Marshal. It's perfect. One minute later, you're carrying Melody to the automatic elevator, held on the fourth floor by the little block of wood you left to prop the door open. You put her inside, let the door close, and start down the stairs. At 1:26, you're standing in the shadows of the shrubbery outside the building. At your feet, the suitcase you hid there. Waiting. Waiting. Waiting.
Why doesn't he come? Oh, here he comes now. Yeah, this is him. Well, hello, Mr. Prentice.
Oh, Blake, you startled me.
Sorry.
Didn't know you were coming along the sidewalk.
I'm trying to catch up with you for a block.
Well, a suitcase, eh? Back from another business trip?
Yes, I'm glad of it.
There you are. Oh,
thanks.
Rather nice to meet someone for a change. I'm usually a lone wolf, you know. I suppose it's the lot of every nightclub manager.
Did you ring for the elevator?
Yep, already started down. Your wife expecting you, Blake?
No, I didn't get a chance to wire her. Probably be quite a surprise.
And it will be quite a surprise, won't it, Marshal? Yeah. You'll probably have to pick Prentice off the floor when that elevator door opens and he sees what's inside. But most important of all, Prentice will produce an alibi no one could possibly break down. Yes, it's so natural. You're walking up to him outside, the suitcase in your hand, just back from Phoenix. The two of you walking in together, discovering Melody together. Yes, Marshal, it's airtight. And as the elevator dial moves around, you begin to brace yourself. 4, 3, 2, 1... You're ready now, waiting. Prentice slides the door back. The elevator is empty.
Well, what's the matter, Blake? Step in. There's plenty of room.
With the prologue of Night Melody, the Signal Oil Company is bringing you another strange tale by The Whistler.
You know, the sound effects they use for radio are mighty interesting. For instance, suppose I were to broadcast that message you see in Signal gasoline ads. It takes extra quality to go farther, and Signal is the famous Go Farther gasoline. Now, if I said that through the filter mic, here's how it would sound.
It takes extra quality to go farther, and Signal is the famous Go Farther gasoline.
On the other hand, through the echo chamber, it would sound like this.
It takes extra quality to go farther, and Signal is the famous Go Farther gasoline.
But after all, the important thing is what you say, not how you say it. And in gasoline, the important thing is that it takes extra quality to go farther. And Signal is the famous Go Farther gasoline. You see, those quick Signal starts save gasoline. That fast Signal pickup and smooth, knock-free Signal power mean more efficient engine performance. And if a gasoline helps you enjoy more engine efficiency, it naturally helps you get more mileage. That's why Signal says just check your speedometer for the best proof of gasoline quality. You'll find it's true. In gasoline, it does take extra quality to go farther. And remember, Signal is the famous Go Farther gasoline. And now back to the Whistler.
You stand at the door of the elevator like an idiot, too stunned to speak. It's unbelievable, isn't it, Marshall? You put Melody's body in that elevator not 5 minutes ago, yet the car is empty. You fight an impulse to run out of the elevator, upstairs to the fifth floor in Helen's apartment. But you can't, can you, Marshall? No one must know there was ever more than a casual friendship between you and Helen. As the car rises, you tell yourself that your wife, Melody, is dead, that she couldn't get up and walk away. Or could she? You follow Prentice out onto the fourth floor and start down the corridor, deciding now it's best to keep close to him for the time being.
You seem a little ruffled tonight, Blake. Anything wrong?
Oh, no. I had kind of a rough time on the plane, though, and... Come on in, Prentice. Have a nightcap with me.
Won't we disturb your wife?
Oh, she won't mind. Just a quickie.
Well, you know me.
Good. I know Melody will be happy to see you.
Lights are on. Perhaps she's still up.
Melody? Oh, Melody. Melody, darling. I'm home. Prentice.
What's the matter?
She's not here. She's not in the apartment.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
Oh, she might have gone out for the evening or... Wait a minute. Look there.
Huh?
That overnight bag next to the divan. Was she going somewhere?
Well, she couldn't have... I mean, she couldn't have gone far.
Of course not. Well, Blake, what about it?
What about what?
Didn't you ask me in for a drink?
Oh, yes, sure. Help yourself, will you? It's on the sideboard there.
Righto. And I'd say you could use a drink. Well, that's strange.
What is it?
She couldn't have left very long ago. These glasses must have been rinsed in hot water. They're still warm.
Oh, yes, of course.
Now, how do you suppose it... Say, what is that? Perfume?
Oh, yes, it's a favorite of my wife's. Name for her something. Night Melody.
And the scent of it, heavier than ever now, makes you almost feel Melody near you. Sweet, sickening, filling the room with her presence, her brittle, mocking laugh. At long last, Prentice finishes his drink. And the minute you hear his door close across the hall, you hurry out. Search the corridors on the fourth floor, then down the stairs to the third, the second, and finally into the lobby. Where is she, Marshall? What happened to Melody?
Melody!
Oh, Mrs.
Mr. Flick, I thought I heard someone. Is something wrong?
My wife. I'm awfully worried, Mrs. McPherson. She's not in the apartment.
Well, didn't you know?
Know what?
Well, I thought she was leaving on a trip tonight.
She didn't tell me. I just got in from Phoenix.
Oh, dear, dear. You must have just missed each other. I'm sure I heard Mrs. Blake go out, and I... Well, I'm sure of it now. That's your wife's perfume. Can't you smell it?
Yes, I do smell it.
Oh, well, wait a minute. I'll check for you, Mr. Blake. I'll call the night man. He brought her trunk up from the basement this afternoon. Now, I'm sure he'll know. And you say she didn't mention anything to you this afternoon, Mr. Novello? Yes, I see. Well, Mr. Blake's quite worried, and he... Oh, you did. You saw her leave the building a short time ago.
What? What did he say?
The night man saw her leave. About what time, Mr. Novello? 1:30 or so?
Wait a minute. What's he...
Oh, and she was carrying her overnight bag. I see. Well, thank you. Yes, good night.
Overnight bag? Tell me, what did he say about...
Well, she was carrying it with her.
The bag?
Oh, now, there's nothing to worry about, Mr. Blake. Come, I'll fix you some tea. Only be a moment, and I'll... That perfume, it's in here, too. Isn't that odd?
Oh, it's the wrong key, huh? Let me see here. Oh, what's wrong with this silly thing?
Oh, Blake.
Huh. Oh, Prentice. I'm having a little trouble with the key here. I'll get it in a minute.
What's the matter?
Oh, the key, this lock's stuck.
Yeah, let me...
Oh.
There you are.
Thanks.
Is there something wrong?
No, nothing. Come on in, will you?
I don't mean to be curious, but good Lord, man, there's nothing to get worked up about.
Let me see. Where is it? Excuse me a minute, will you? Excuse me. It's here either. It's gone.
What's gone?
Her overnight bag, Melody's. It was here a minute ago.
I guess that's what she came back for.
What did you say?
Well, I thought it was she. Someone came and went only a minute ago.
But she couldn't have.
Look, Blake, there's one way to settle it. Let's go up and check with her sister, Helen.
And that's not on the program either, is it, Marshall? You're too bewildered to even think now as Mr. Prentice guides you up the stairs to the next floor in Helen's apartment. Someone knows. You're sure of it now. Someone has been in on it from the first, and the whole thing is a careful, insidious plan to trap you. But who, Marshal? Who could it be? Then as the two of you start down the sixth floor corridor, something hits you between the eyes.
Oh, don't be silly, darling. You can trust me. Everything is just waiting for you to walk in.
You stop short for a minute, your mind spinning, and then continue on after Prentice. Walk in, Marshal. Walk into what?
Mr. Prentice, what's the matter? Why are you...
Oh, nothing at all, Miss Mason.
I'm sorry, Helen.
Marshal, something's wrong. What is it?
We didn't want to disturb you, Miss Mason.
You see, I'm a little concerned about Melody, Helen. Well, you know, I've been in Phoenix for the past 2 weeks. I just returned unexpectedly and...
Tell me. Tell me, Marshal, what is it?
Well, she isn't at home.
Melody isn't at home?
There's really nothing to be alarmed about. You know, of course, that she planned a trip. You can't seem to convince Blake here.
Look,
that...
please, Mr. Prentice, would you mind if I talk to Helen alone?
Oh, not at all. Good night, Miss Mason. Sorry to have disturbed you, but poor Blake here.
Of course. Come in, Marshal, and thank you, Mr. Prentice.
Not at all.
What's the matter?
Everything.
Did you do it?
Yes, right on schedule. Only one thing.
What?
When Prentice and I opened the elevator door, she wasn't there.
What do you mean?
Just that, she wasn't there. Everybody's trying to tell me she's walking around the building.
Oh, Marshal, are you sure
she
you...
She was dead, I tell you. When I put her in that elevator, she was
dead.
Oh,
don't be ridiculous. Tell me now. Tell me exactly what happened.
It went off perfectly. I got up to her apartment just after one. We talked a while. I suggested a farewell drink and then I...
Go on.
Wait a minute. Helen. You.
What's the matter?
She's been here too, hasn't she?
Marshal, what are you...
Night Melody. Here in this room. I can smell it.
What are you talking
Melody
about?
Perfume.
Perfume? What in the
There's
world?
Only one way it could have happened, Helen. Just one way.
Marshal.
You're double-crossing me, Helen. You're trying to use me for a fall guy. It's Melody's money, isn't it? That's all you're after.
Wait a minute, Marshal.
What did you do with her, Helen? What did you do with Melody? Next thing I know, she'll turn up in my lap with 15 witnesses. When are you going to spring that?
Darling, you don't know what you're saying.
I gave you credit for better sense. You're in it, you know. You're in it as deep as I am. Well, it's not going to work, Helen. You better understand that right now.
Marshal, listen to me.
I'm through listening to you.
Oh, please. Please, darling. You've just got to believe in me before it's too late.
Oh, Helen, I couldn't believe.
Oh, my poor darling. Listen to me now. I know we're in this together. There's only one way we can win. We've got to stay together. Always.
I love you, Helen. I love you so much.
If she's gone, it's because someone found her. Because someone knows.
They all know. The manager, even Prentice.
There's only one way out now, Marshal. There isn't much time.
What do you mean?
They do know, darling, but they don't know enough. If they did, they'd be here by now. We've got to get out of here.
When?
Right now. My car's down in the basement garage. We can be out of the state by daylight.
You know what that means?
Yes, Marshal. I know what that means.
There's a sick feeling of defeat inside you as you wait for her to dress. Yes. You know what it means to run now, don't you, Marshal? From this minute on, the two of you are giving up all thought of the money, admitting to the world and the law that you murdered Melody Blake. But Helen's right. There's only one explanation. They know everything, and from now on, it's only a matter of time. 5 minutes later, the two of you are in the elevator, going down to the basement in Helen's.
That's it, Marshal. Get the door.
Yeah.
Car's over here.
It's so dark, I can't...
Here, take my hand.
Is there anyone on duty?
The night man's working upstairs, I think. Hurry, darling. What's the matter?
Helen, look. On the table over there. Under the window.
Where? I don't see it.
I don't understand.
They brought her down here.
Melody, you are dead, aren't you? You are dead.
I'm afraid she is.
Oh, Mr. Blake, it's awful. I had no idea when I told
Please, Mrs. McPherson.
Who are you?
Lieutenant Brackett, homicide. Mrs. McPherson called us.
But why? What are you doing here?
I don't think it's necessary to explain that.
You surprised, Helen?
Marshal.
You're stunned, aren't you? Right out of a clear sky. You had no idea.
Please, darling, believe me.
That's the trouble. I did believe you. You should have had better sense, Helen. It won't work, you know. It's the wrong kind of a frame. There's still two of us.
Stop, Marshal.
Two of us, Helen, you and I. Yeah, did you get that, Lieutenant? Two of us. I didn't kill her. I was the machine, the dummy. She pulled the strings.
You don't know what you're saying.
Shut up! Well, I'm pulling the strings now, all of them. All right, officer. You can make yourself comfortable. I got quite a story to tell you.
The Whistler will return in just a moment with a strange ending to tonight's story. But now, a message especially for you drivers who have new cars or expect to be getting one. Just any motor oil won't do, you know, for today's high-efficiency motors. No, sir. They need special protection against corrosion, wear, and carbon if they're to give you the long, trouble-free service you have a right to expect. So Signal has brought out a finer motor oil, especially created to give modern motors this extra protection. Signal Premium Motor Oil. Of course, it has 100% pure paraffin base. But in addition, Signal Premium contains 5 scientific new compounds. The result? Road and laboratory tests prove that motors stay 6 times cleaner and cylinder wear is reduced 1/3 with Signal Premium Motor Oil.
And that holds just as true for old motors as for new ones. So make your next oil change a change to the new Signal oil that's your guarantee of a sweeter running motor. Signal, premium motor oil. And now back to the Whistler.
It's a terrible thing, Marshal, the four of you standing in the gloom of the basement garage. Just enough light from the street lamp outside, filtering through the dirty window to give the whole picture an ethereal, ghostly pallor. You hear yourself talking now, slowly at first, then faster as the hatred inside you drives the whole thing out of your brain and in a flood of words. You tell everything. How you fell in love with Helen. About the night you discovered you were both thinking of murder and of Melody's money. Of the poisoned drink, the elevator, the maddening discovery that Melody's body was gone. Helen begins to sob. Mrs. McPherson and the lieutenant just stand there quietly listening.
Well, that's all, Lieutenant. I don't know what she's done to try to implicate me. What kind of a yarn she's told you, but that's the truth. No one will ever make me change it.
Marshal, why?
Well, what about it, officer?
Amazing what you can run into in an apartment house garage.
Come on. Where are we going?
The night man's room is down here. I'd like to have you talk to him.
A night man?
Bring the lady, Mrs. McPherson.
This way, Miss Mason.
No, I won't. I'm not going.
You'll do what I tell you. You're both under arrest. Suspicion of murder.
But the night man, what's he got to do
with it? Take it easy. You'll see in a minute. Oh, Flynn.
Yes, Lieutenant?
Can we see him now?
Sure, go on in.
Come on. How are you now, Mr. Novello?
I don't know, Lieutenant.
You know Mr. Blake here?
Mr. Blake? Mr. Blake, please believe me. I didn't mean to do it. I tried to explain. After it happened, I got scared and I lost my head. That's why I lied about seeing your wife go out
just
and everything.
Just a minute, Mr. Novello. Tell Mr. Blake exactly what you did.
I was cleaning up on the fourth floor, and I found Mrs. Blake in the elevator. She'd fainted.
Fainted?
Go on, Mr. Novello.
I pick her up to carry her back to her apartment, and as I passed the stairway, I tripped and fell down all the way to the landing. She hit her head. I know it. I killed her. I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to kill her.
You mean he told you?
Funny, isn't it? We thought he was lying. Had him all ready to book. Until you cleared him.
Good Lord. Helen. Helen.
Never mind, Marshal. It's no use now.
Well, let's go, you two. Oh, Mr. Novello, a word of advice. Next time you fall downstairs with a body in your arms, don't lose your head and hide it in the air conditioning intake. Every apartment in the building is full of that perfume.
Let that whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Monday at 9. Brought to you by the Signal Oil Company, makers of Signal gasoline and motor oil and fine quality automotive accessories. Signal has asked me to remind you, to get the most driving pleasure, drive at sensible speed, be courteous, and obey traffic regulations. It may save a life, possibly your own. Featured in tonight's story were Joseph Kearns and Doris Singleton. The Whistler was produced by George W. Allen, with story by Joel Malone and Harold Swanton, music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is Marvin Miller speaking for the Signal Oil Company. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
About the last place I expected to be that Tuesday was the town of Powder Creek. The Double G Ranch where I'd been working was clear on the other side of the territory, about 200 miles away. But when Sam Griffith, he's the owner of the Double G, when Sam got a chance to buy off Forrest Trent's herd, he sent me over to close the deal. So the next thing I knew, I was walking down the main street on my way to the bank where I was supposed to meet Trent. Gee whiz, it sure was a nice day. Kind of Indian summer-like. A lot warmer than it had a right to be in October. The sun had fooled the maple trees into thinking it was spring. A couple of them beside the Civil War cannon in the square were even starting to bud. The two fellas sitting underneath it playing checkers in their shirt sleeves. It looked like the sun had fooled them, too. Howdy.
Just a minute, mister. Just a minute till I make this move. There. That ought to hold you, Jonah.
Yeah.
Now, what was it you wanted, mister?
Oh, I didn't want anything. I just said howdy, that's all.
Oh, howdy. Well, speak to the man, Jonah. He spoke to us.
It's my move now. I'll do my talking afterward. Yeah. Howdy.
Ah, it's a nice day.
Yeah.
Well, so long.
Hold up there a minute, son.
Hmm?
There you go. See that gun of his, John?
Yep.
You ain't Britt Ponsett, the Six Shooter.
My name's Ponsett, yeah.
You hear that, Jonah? He's Britt Ponsett.
Yep.
And we was kind of wondering when you was going to show up, Mr. Ponsett. Been expecting you for the last month or so.
What's that?
Yeah, when you got to jump, you got to take it. That's the rule.
All right, yep. Jonah. All right, I know the rule.
We'll take it then, take it.
All right.
Yeah.
There. You satisfied?
You said something about... expecting
me. Why, sure. Ever since we heard the news, congratulations.
Why?
He said congratulations. Now let's get on with the game.
All right. Sure move, ain't
it? Yeah, how in thunder should I know? All this chattering going on.
Well, I don't like to keep you interrupting, but I wonder if you'd mind explaining just what you meant by...
Jonah's trying to think.
Yeah, I know, but what I
don't want him to claim I beat him because we kept him from concentrating.
No, of course not. No, I just... Well, I knew that the Trent cattle would turn out to be good stock. The Double G was lucky to be buying them. But since they weren't going to belong to me, I couldn't see why congratulations were in order. Unless folks in Powder Creek had heard wrong, unless they thought I was outfitting a ranch of my own. And I started to explain things to the fellows playing checkers, but they shushed me again, good and loud this time. So I gave up and went on town toward the bank. I was just passing by the newspaper office when I bumped into Quint Todd. He was editor of the Powder Creek Press, a weekly newspaper. Matter of fact, he was more than just an editor. Quint's pa had retired in the last 6 or 7 years, and he was putting out the paper practically single-handed. Afternoon, Quint.
Huh? Oh, it's you, Ponsett. So you finally got here, huh?
Well, I'm here, if that's what you mean. I didn't realize folks were so anxious about me.
Some of us are anxious, maybe. Some of us ain't.
What, are you upset about something, Quint?
Why should I be upset?
Well, I don't know. Things are all right, aren't they? I mean, with the paper.
Paper's fine. I'll save you the next issue so you can see your name in print.
See, I sure can't think of any reason why you'd be writing about me.
It's customary, ain't it?
What?
It's customary to write about the groom.
The groom? The what?
I'm busy now, Ponson. I got a story to run down.
Oh, Quint,
I hope you'll be real happy, both of you.
No, but Quint, hey, for Pete's sake, Quint!
Well, he'd lost his senses. That's the only explanation of that. Quint Todd had just plain lost his senses. That me being a groom. Me? And who in the Sam Hill did he think I was going to marry? I hadn't even been keeping company. Not that I have anything against marriage, you understand. Like people say, it's an institution. A noble institution. Why, some of my best friends are married. And I suppose someday, not right away, of course, not very soon, but someday, maybe I'll... Well, I...
Hey, hello, Bridge. I was on my way to meet you.
Huh?
What's the matter? You look like you just fell off a bronc.
Oh, hello, Trent. I guess I was kind of preoccupied. I was thinking about something.
I reckon we shouldn't expect you to have all your faculties in good working order. Not at a time like this, huh?
What?
Oh, sure was a surprise. Never thought I'd see the day when some woman would put a saddle on you.
What?
Well, we better get over to the bank. I told Mr. Fredericks we'd be there by 3 about. He's drawing up the papers.
Sure. Trent.
Yeah?
Now, about me getting married, the fact of the matter is,
Oh, Fred, you know I was just joshing with that saddle talk.
Oh, yeah. I know,
it's high time you did put down some roots.
Maybe so, Trent.
Just wait till you got a family of your own. Why, you'll be a different man.
Oh, that's possible. That's possible, Trent. But just where did everybody get the notion that I was almost ready to...
You didn't think you could keep it a secret, did you?
A secret?
Well, you ought to know Minnie better than that.
Minnie?
Yeah, that's who told me. Well, of course, there'd been rumors going around for several weeks, but until I heard it from Minnie herself...
Oh, wait, hold on here. You mean Minnie Flint?
Well, who else would I mean? It's her niece you're marrying, ain't it? What are you acting so strange about?
Look, I just want to get this straight. Minnie Flint told you I was marrying her niece?
Well, she told everybody.
I say.
Well, now, Britt, I know how a man feels when he's getting ready to jump overboard. I felt the same way myself, sort of awkward and embarrassed.
Well, be that as
you
it may.
You folks didn't know about it so they wouldn't poke fun the way they always do. But you can't blame Minnie for spreading the news.
Well, I sure do blame her.
Well, now, Britt, Minnie's been like a mother to Helen, raised her since she was a baby. Well, Helen ain't never had no folks of her own.
I know that.
Well, then, you shouldn't mind Minnie being proud. Why shouldn't she do a little bragging, huh? Well, of course. The women folks around here seem to think you're quite a catch.
Oh, now listen, Diane. Now, Trent, let me tell you something.
Here's the bank. I suppose you'll want to get this business done with pronto so you can get straight over to Minnie's place, huh, Rip?
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to get over to Minnie's.
Just a minute, I'm coming. Britt.
You mind if I come in, Minnie?
Why, well...
Excuse me. Thanks.
It's sure nice to see you, Britt. I didn't have any idea you were in Powder Creek. I didn't have any idea at all.
Uh-huh.
You're just passing through, ain't you? You're not staying.
Some folks seem to think I am. At least long enough to get married.
Oh, you've heard.
Well, so is everybody else, far as I can tell. Your announcement of my engagement seems to have blanketed the whole town.
Now, Britt, I can explain.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Why don't you just sit down over there on the sofa? I've got some oatmeal cookies out in the kitchen. I just made them this morning.
Minnie?
Yes?
You just can forget about the cookies. I really don't have much of an appetite.
Oh.
I'm waiting, man.
Well, you see, Britt, I only did it for Helen. Now, she's a fine girl, and, well, I wanted to help her out.
Oh.
On account of Quint Todd. They've been going together for nearly 6 years now, but he just never seemed to get around to asking her to marry him.
Well, he must have his reasons. A man usually does.
Oh, it's because of his father. You see, Clint's been taking care of old man Todd ever since he retired. And it must cost money, him being so sickly all the time.
Uh-huh.
But Clint could have married her. Helen don't expect a lot of fancy clothes in a fine house. She's the practical type.
Just what has this got to do with me?
Well, I had an idea. I thought if maybe there was somebody else, if Clint believed Helen was interested in another man, well, maybe he'd come to his senses and take the bull by the horns and marry her himself.
You've been sort of using me as a decoy. Is that the idea?
I knew you was working for the Double G. It didn't seem likely you'd be showing up in these parts. Not for the time being, anyhow. And afterward, well, after Miss Clint and Helen tied the knot, then it wouldn't matter.
Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, man. Both you and Helen.
You don't think she knew about it?
She didn't?
Of course not. I didn't dare tell her. Why, she'd have never stood for it.
Well, then how on earth did you manage to convince her that I was interested?
I've got a sister living over in Black Mountain. That's not far from the Double G.
No, but what I mean is, how did you ever...
Well, I... Hmm? There are some letters, and asked her to post them for me. They were love letters, Brett. I sort of changed my handwriting and signed your name.
Manny Flint.
I guess you might as well know the rest, too. When Helen answered them, when she wrote back to you, well, I kind of saw to it that her answers never got mailed.
Well, I just don't know what to say.
Oh, I never dreamed it'd go this far, Britt. I was sure Clint would start talking serious when he first found out that you and Helen were corresponding, but he didn't. And then, well, I thought maybe if your letters got a little more sincere, well, maybe that would make him jealous. I left him around where he couldn't help seeing them whenever he come calling.
You didn't actually propose in my name.
Oh, no.
Well.
Britt. Well, not in so many words, but reading between the lines, well, that's how Helen took it. She wrote you her answer 2 weeks ago. She wrote yes.
What?
Your letters were mighty convincing.
Well, then you better start figuring out some way of unconvincing her.
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Look, man, now, Helen's got to know the truth. And if you won't do it, well, I'll just have to tell her all about it myself. Because...
Oh, Constantine, I guess maybe he's... Oh. But, Brett, well, you're here already.
Hello, Helen.
Oh, my goodness. Sure is good to see you, Brett. You're looking fine.
Oh, so are you, Helen. So are you.
I wish I'd known you were coming. I wouldn't have been out doing the marketing.
No, it didn't matter. Didn't matter.
Oh, Brett, I just got to tell you. Maybe I shouldn't say it right out like this, but... Well, ever since I was a little girl, I've looked up to you so. Oh, it just seemed to me you were the finest man that ever came through Powder Creek.
Now, Helen.
Of course, I never guessed that someday, well, that you and I... Oh, Britt, I'm so happy about it. Excited and happy. I just hope you're as pleased as I am. Are you, Britt?
Sure, Helen. Sure.
We'll return to James Stewart as the Six Shooter in just a moment. Every man and woman in the armed forces will tell you the only call that takes precedence over mess is mail call. And when a letter is more important to a hungry GI than food, you know it means something. And the truce in Korea is no reason why we should stop writing letters to our men and women in service, whether in U.S. camps or overseas. Mail from home is just as important now as it ever was. Oh yes, and be sure to mail your soldiers' Christmas packages this week. In that way, you'll be sure he'll receive them in time to make his Christmas away from home a little more cheerful. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
There just wasn't anything else to say. There just wasn't. I couldn't tell Helen that I'd never really thought about her in a marrying way. And besides Minnie, she caused all the trouble. It was her place to set things right. Min didn't open her mouth. No, she just stood there staring at us through her bifocals, real pleased with herself. Well, the next thing that happened was Helen invited me to supper. Oh, boy, I sure didn't want to accept. All I wanted to do was just get out of the house and get out of Powder Creek, too. But what I wanted to do and what I did were two different things. I went back to the hotel where I was stopping, changed my shirt, and I rode out the Minnie's again.
I guess Britt doesn't like my cooking at Minnie's. Hardly eating a thing.
Oh, it's not that, Helen. Everything's fine. I had a pretty big dinner at noon, and it kind of stayed with me.
More coffee, Britt.
No, no thanks, man.
You'll have to tell me your favorite food, Britt, so I'll know what to fix after.
I sort of like most everything.
Apple pie, I bet. Most men like apple pie. Why, whenever Quint and I went up... Oh.
Speaking of Quint, I ran into him today.
I'd just as soon not discuss him.
Always seemed to me to be an awful nice sort of a fella, Quint.
Please, Britt.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I'll just rid up the table. Oh, here, let me help.
No, I can manage. Besides, you two have lots of things to talk over.
Well, all right.
Real warm night for this time of year. Moon, too. A harvest moon.
Oh? I hadn't noticed.
We ain't taken down the porch swing yet, Britt.
Oh, that's all.
It might be kind of nice to sit outside for still.
Well, whatever you say, Helen. Whatever you say. Are you sure you're not too cold out here?
Oh, no. Uh-huh. No, I'm fine. Besides, if I do get chilly, you could sort of...
Helen.
Yes,
Helen, about us getting married, we may not be able to have the wedding right away.
Oh?
Well, you see, over at the Double G where I'm working, there's no place we could live.
What? You wrote me you had a cabin all to yourself.
I did.
And you said it would fix up real easy, that there'd be plenty of room for both of us.
Well, it would. It would have fixed up easy, Helen. But last week, there was a kind of a fire, and that cabin just burned right down to the ground.
Oh, I see.
There's nothing left of it now but just a few ashes. And that's one of the reasons I came over here to Powder Creek to explain about us having to postpone the ceremony, you see.
Well, you don't have to stay at the Double G, do you?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I signed up for all of next year. Don't have any choice, so maybe we ought to not be formally promised. I mean, if somebody else came along, I wouldn't blame you not for waiting.
Britt, there won't be anybody else.
Oh, you never know. You never know.
And a year isn't very long to wait. A year isn't long at all.
No, I guess not, but just in case.
Wait a minute. I've got an idea. We don't have to wait.
Hey,
we can be married right away before you go back to the Double G. Then afterward, I can stay on with Aunt Min. There'd be times when we could be together, when you come over to Powder Creek for a week or so, like now.
I never thought of that.
You don't seem very anxious, Britt. From the sound of your letters, I thought you wanted to get married.
Right? Oh, sure. Well... Well, looks like somebody's riding up this way.
But it's Quint. Quint Todd.
Oh.
I'm going in the house, Britt. I don't want to talk to him.
Oh, now, I thought you and Quint used to be pretty good friends.
That's all we were, just friends. He didn't mean anything to me, not really.
Oh, well, you sure start running every time the name's mentioned.
I'm not running. Oh, all right, I'll stay.
Yeah, well, good evening, Quint.
Hello, Ponset. Helen.
Good evening.
You left word at the press office you wanted to see me.
I left word?
No, he means me, Helen.
What?
Well, I figured he'd want to get the details on our plans. The paper comes out tomorrow, doesn't it?
That's right.
Yes, well, I just want to tell you, you couldn't have come at a better time. You see, we just finished settling things. The ceremony's going to be this week. Haven't decided on a day yet. How's Friday, Helen?
Oh, well, yes. The sooner the better.
The sooner the better. Yeah, Friday, then.
Church wedding.
Oh, of course. I want everybody to come. Everybody in town. You better say so in the paper. There won't be time to send out formal invitations. You're invited, too, of course, Quint.
I'll try and make it.
There won't be much of a honeymoon. I'm heading back for the Double G first part of next week. Helen's going to stay here with her aunt.
She's going to stay in Powder Creek?
For the time being, anyway.
Don't sound like much of a marriage to me.
Well, it's not the way we prefer it, but of course, you know, you can't always fix things up perfect. You have to take the bitter with the sweet, you know.
Yeah, well, when I get married, I'll have a house for my wife and some money in the bank.
There are more important things than houses and money.
You never said so before.
I never said I wanted a house of my own, did I?
Well, no. But I couldn't ask you to move in with me and Pa, the way he's ailing all the time.
That was just an excuse. If you loved me, you'd have asked.
I did love you. You must have known I did.
How was I to know?
There's no point in hashing it over now. Good night.
Now, hold on now. Hold on, Quint. Now, just a minute. Now, I want to get this thing straight now. I could hardly believe my ears just now. You said you were in love with Helen?
I still am, if you want to know it.
Quint.
Well, I sure don't like the sound of this. Helen's engaged to me.
How I feel about her doesn't matter. It's how she feels that counts.
Yeah, but if you're in love with her, now how do I know she's not in love with you?
It's pretty plain that she isn't.
I don't know. You know, being in love usually works both ways, you know. Don't know about this. Well, Helen, what about this now?
Britt, you know I don't care anything about him one way or the other.
Now, is that the truth? You talking the truth now? We're not starting our marriage on a lie now, are we?
Well, maybe I was fond of Quint once, but that was before... Well...
You're all over it now. All over it. Are you sure?
I'm promised to you.
Yeah, but I wouldn't hold you to that promise. As a matter of fact, I'd insist you break it if I thought there was somebody else.
Well, that's mighty generous of you, Britt. But you don't need to worry.
Of course, if our marriage didn't go through, I'd be kind of upset. Hurt, maybe?
Oh, I wouldn't ever hurt you, Britt. Not for anything.
Oh, I get over it, Al. I get over it. A man always does. At least, I always have before.
Sure.
Oh, sure. Lots of times. Oh, yeah.
You wrote me that I was the only girl you ever...
Oh, well, I to tell you the truth, what I meant was that you were the only girl I'd ever been engaged to, you see.
Oh.
That's what I meant.
It looks to me like the choice is up to you, Helen.
Yes, I think that's the way I see it, too.
If you're smart, you'll choose Ponset. I sure haven't got anything to offer you. Just a small-town newspaper that wouldn't even give us a decent living.
Oh, now, stop talking yourself down, Quint. Now, the Powder Creek Press, one of the finest weeklies in this part of the country. Now, you know that.
Well, Britt, he's a six-shooter. Why, he's practically famous.
All I am is a cowpoke. I'm just an old cowpoke. I don't even know whether I'm going to have a job from year to year.
Well, just the same.
Just an old cowpoke.
Any girl in the territory would be pleased.
Oh, be quiet, both of you. I think neither one of you wants me. I know who you are and what you are, and I know which one I'm... Well, which one I... Britt.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting a fine man, Helen.
Quint, I told you to be quiet. Britt, I'm sorry. I hope you won't think that I'm fickle or don't know my own mind. But, well, you are the six-shooter. You don't really need a wife.
Helen, you don't mean you're going to take me.
Quint... Well, he needs somebody to look after him. I've seen that house of his. Well, I'll bet the place hasn't had a good spring house cleaning for the last 4 years. But Quint's father, he's a nice old man. And with a woman to look after him, maybe he won't be so sickly all the time.
Well, you still haven't said that you love Quint.
Well, I guess I've been in love with him ever since...
You won't think too badly of me, Chris.
No, it's kind of a blow, I guess. But like I said, it'll take a little while to get over it, and I'll manage somehow. I'll manage. Well, I left Quint and Helen standing out there on the porch. I went inside to get my hat. Minnie was hovering by the front window. When she saw me, she shut it real quick and tried to appear innocent. Well, it looks like your scheme finally worked out, man.
My scheme? Seems to me it was more yours than mine.
Well, what are you talking about?
You know very well that your asking Quint over here tonight was what brought things to a head.
Well, I just wanted to make certain he had all the facts about our wedding, that's all. Right, so the story in the paper would be accurate.
Oh,
that's
sure,
all.
Yeah, sure, I know. Oh, poor Quint.
What?
Well, I guess he deserved it after making her wait all this time.
Well, what do you mean, Minnie?
Well, I was just thinking. He's going to have to toe the line real close, and he's not going to win many family arguments, neither.
Well, I don't see why not.
Well, I'll tell you why not. Every time Helen has trouble with him, all she'll say is, "Don't forget, I could have married the six-shooter, but I gave him up for you." And Quint will just have to sit there and take it, no matter how often she says it.
Oh, now, man. Well, Quint and Helen were married the following Sunday. I stayed over for the wedding. Matter of fact, I was best man. Both of them insisted on that. But I didn't enjoy the ceremony very much. I kept thinking that, you know, that it could have been me standing there saying the I do's. And, gee whiz, I sure was a close call.
The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt, and the transcribed story is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Barbara Eiler, Virginia Gregg, Bill Johnstone, Sam Edwards, and Herb Biker. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This is Hal Gibney. Tonight here, Angela Lansbury in the NBC Star Playhouse on the NBC Radio Network.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. You can find more from The Whistler, The Six Shooter, past episodes of this podcast, and all the others at RelicRadio.com. And if you enjoy this and all the shows, you can also find a donate button. Help support it. Keep it all going. Thank you, as always, to those who have donated, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.